KPBS On Demand is supported by Project Blank, presenting Working Title, its fifth annual exhibition of art and music, featuring works by artists from across the San Diego region, including an immersive world premiere by Michelle Liu, May 28 through 30. Details at projectblanksd.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, May 7th. Come along with us as we spend the day with some seasoned Tijuana journalists. More on that next, but first, the headlines. There's a citizen-led initiative to help the city of San Diego update its Mission Bay Park master plan. The Mission Bay Park Conservancy also wants to create a reliable revenue stream to help the city maintain the structures in the park. That includes the visitor center and 25 restrooms that are at risk of seasonal closure because of the city's budget deficit. The president and founder of the Mission Bay Park Conservancy says the nonprofit was put together to be a community catalyst, bringing together both public and private efforts to turn vision into action. 76 adult students participated in a graduation ceremony this week at the San Diego Central Library in downtown. The students earned their high school diplomas through two online programs offered by the city's libraries. The programs are free for participants. The San Diego Food Bank announced this week that it raised a record amount of money at their 14th annual gala last weekend. They raised more than $1.5 million, the most ever in their organization's history. The funds will go to the Food for Kids backpack program. That program organizes weekend food packages for elementary students facing food insecurity. Currently, the program feeds just shy of 4,000 students across almost 100 schools in the county. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by ACLU of San Diego and Imperial Counties. The work of the ACLU is about closing the gap between the America that was promised and the America that is. Learn more at www.aclu-sdic.org.
Being a journalist has many challenges, but our colleagues just across the border face a unique set of obstacles. Video journalist Matthew Bowler spent a day chasing down leads with a few of Tijuana's best journalists.
Me encanta mi trabajo a pesar de todo las...
That's Giovanni Urenda. He says he loves his job as a general assignment reporter at the El Sol de Tijuana newspaper. We met up with him on a cool morning before his first of three assignments. He's from Tijuana.
Es una ciudad de oportunidades.
He says Tijuana is a city of opportunity that is going through a difficult economic situation like all of Mexico. But the city has always welcomed anyone who arrives.
Adelante, adelante. Hi.
Gracias.
We follow Urenda upstairs to his newsroom. He sits at his desk and starts to bang away on his keyboard. He's the first one in today. His desk has Lucha Libre figurines and a New England Patriots souvenir helmet. He showed me the filing cabinet with memorial stickers for Margarito Martinez and Lourdes Maldonado, the two Tijuana journalists were murdered less than a week apart in 2022.
¿Conoces Margarito y Lourdes?
I asked, did you know Margarito and Lourdes? He says he didn't know them, that he had been a reporter for 7 months when they were murdered. According to Reporters Without Borders, two journalists have been killed in Mexico so far this year. In the first 6 months of 2025, eight journalists were killed.
I began in 1985, and by 1988, I was aware of my first colleague being killed, Hector Gato Felix.
That's Vicente Calderon. He's been a journalist in Tijuana since 1985. Hector Gato Felix helped to found the famous investigative weekly Zeta Tijuana. Calderon's office is filled with journalism awards, books about journalism, and the memorabilia of old stories.
When you see that there's consequences, people think twice. We haven't seen that more often in the recent killings in Mexico and here in Tijuana.
Sí, es aquí.
Back on assignment with Urenda, we pull into the museum hosting a Baja security conference. We walk into the Comité Ciudadano de Seguridad Pública de Tijuana, or Tijuana Citizens Public Security Committee meeting. Urenda dives right into questioning the president of the committee.
¿Cuánto tiempo duró su antecesor?
He asks, how long will your predecessor last, and why is it important to be doing this? Old-fashioned beat reporting, like covering a committee meeting, isn't the only kind of journalism in Tijuana. That's the sound of photojournalist Joe Beth Terriquez at work, nicknamed Joe Black. He specializes in social issues. We met up with him at the migrant shelter Movimiento Juventud 2000. He's known for immersing himself in his work.
I used to sleep in the camp with them.
Time equals access for Terriquez. But that comes with its own set of dangers.
If you want to be a journalist or this type of journalist, you got to know that someday, because of what you're doing, something is going to go terribly wrong.
Mexico has a system to protect journalists called the Mecanismo de Protección para Personas Defensoras de Derechos Humanos y Periodistas. In 2019, Tijuana journalist Lourdes Maldonado told the then president of Mexico she feared for her life.
Porque se temo por mi vida.
Maldonado was shot in front of her home on January 23, 2022. She was the second Tijuana journalist killed in less than a week. The first, Margarito Martinez, killed on January 17th of that same year. Since then, Calderon says being a journalist isn't any safer, and there's a new kind of threat on the rise.
Legal harassment or the stigmatization from the government. Politicians complaining about journalists being sicarios of the pen. Those things are now making this situation more complicated.
Terriquez says his wife has asked him to stop.
My wife, she kind of told me to drop it because I got a lot of threats. She knows that if they kill me, it's because I did something right.
The risks don't stop them. In spite of the threats, Terriquez will dodge Tijuana traffic to get a photo. Urenda will question authority.
¿Qué le corresponde a las autoridades y qué le corresponde también a la comunidad?
And through it all, Calderon says there is hope.
When the authorities are not paying attention to their demands, when things are not going according to the law, they call the reporters. And the reporters from Tijuana are answering.
Matthew Bowler, KPBS News.
San Diego State University is using AI to track the migration of homeless people in the county. Reporter Katie Heisen says the science is surprisingly human.
San Diego County measures its homeless population with an annual point-in-time count.
But we know that homeless population actually very dynamic. They're moving every single day.
Ming So is a geography professor at SDSU. He leads the project. It uses AI to identify tents in aerial and street view images, like those you can see on Google Maps. It estimates how many people live inside by their size. The information could help decide where to place resources like shelters, hand washing stations, and street medicine teams. The project relies on artificial intelligence, but it's also very human. His students drive around to see where AI is making errors and why. They survey the people living outside, ask questions like, why here? Where did you stay yesterday? And why did you leave?
When we analyze the data, it's just a number, digital numbers, digital maps, but every single number behind that is a story of unhoused individuals.
He plans to one day use the model to make predictions, to help communities prepare before homeless people move. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
More news coming out of San Diego State University. For the first time in 20 years, a disabled veteran is back on a bicycle and has SDSU engineering students to thank for it. Military and veterans reporter Andrew Dyer says for the students, it was more than just a homework assignment.
At the start of the fall semester, a team of San Diego State engineering students connected with Marine veteran Josh Doyle. Doyle was injured in Iraq in 2003, leaving him unable to ride a bike. The students, led by senior Will Brandenberger,
Hi, Will. Nice to meet you.
Decided to change that.
There's a couple designs we went back and forth with, a flywheel design or a crank design, but ultimately decided something that would feel similar to riding a bicycle itself is more important.
The solution is a modified pedal that allows Doyle to evenly pedal with both legs, even though one has a much shorter rotation.
So you see how your right leg is
The team won't get its final grade until next week, but Doyle gives them an A+.
It's been great. It's been actually very easy, a lot more intuitive, easier than I thought I was going to be with my leg. So I'm very excited about that. I thought it was going to be a lot more awkward and cause a lot more pain, but it's really, really flawless.
Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
The record-breaking marine heat wave along San Diego and the rest of the West Coast continues. Environment reporter Tammy Murga says now scientists are looking at a new heat wave forming far offshore.
At the end of the Scripps Pier, researchers take daily measurements of ocean temperatures.
1895 is what the surface is holding at. It's warm.
For months, temperatures have risen 3 to 4 degrees Fahrenheit above normal. Melissa Carter is with Scripps Institution of Oceanography.
In January and February, we started seeing these consistent 90th percentile, 95 percentile, record-breaking temperatures.
Scientists say this event is an anomaly because the coastal ocean has remained warm without an El Niño at the equator. Andrew Leising is with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He says a separate heat wave is forming hundreds of miles off the Pacific coast.
Every year we seem to be getting these heat waves that start way offshore about this time of year, get bigger and get to the coast and impact us, typically get us in the late summer and fall.
He's monitoring whether the two marine heat waves will merge. The question he's raising is, if an El Niño forms, how will the long exposure to warm water impact marine wildlife? NOAA's latest El Niño forecast shows a 61% chance the weather system will form by July. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
Dozens of arts and culture organizations spoke out against proposed cuts at the City Council budget review meeting yesterday. Reporter Alexander Wen says several council members voiced their support for the Arts and Culture Grants program.
The proposed budget slashes arts funding by $11.8 million. Councilmember Kent Lee, who ran the nonprofit Pacific Arts Movement before being elected, says the cuts would devastate the arts community in San Diego.
If we're going to be making cuts, we need to think about what the potential impact is and how we ensure that we don't just decimate one part of our economy here in San Diego, just in the name of accomplishing a reduction in numbers.
He says these arts and cultural institutions help to increase tourism, which generates revenue to support other city services. According to the city's latest Arts and Economic Perspective report, the nonprofit arts and culture sector generated $1.2 billion in economic activity. The city council will continue to review the budget until Friday. The mayor is expected to release his revised budget proposal by May 13th. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Halloween is still 6 months away. Arts reporter Beth Accomando says if you're impatient for the witchy season to start, you can check out the third annual Fright Mart this Saturday.
Jennifer Cooksey and fellow artist Atiba Royster love horror, but they got tired of having to go to L.A. to find spooky-themed conventions and events.
So my partner Atiba and I decided that we wanted to bring it all here. So we created Fright Mart as a means to, like, celebrate our local horror community, and we don't have to travel all the way to L.A. to do it.
Fright Mart is an art and entertainment pop-up market that focuses on San Diego and SoCal horror creators.
It celebrates spooky season when it's halfway to Halloween, when you miss it the most.
It's a family-friendly event featuring a vendor market, art show, hands-on classes, and for the first time, a ghoulastic book fair.
So it's basically a play on the book fairs of old, but the book fair is all horror and spooky themed, and we have comics as well, so it's going to be really fun.
Fright Mart takes place Saturday at the Handerly Hotel in Mission Valley. Tickets are $10, and attendees are encouraged to cosplay. And since it's Mother's Day weekend, you can take a photo with Norman Bates' mom. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Thank you.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Flood and Restoration Services. Family-owned and operated for over 46 years, Bilhau has been serving San Diego homeowners with home services since 1980. Bilhau's full-service team offers heating and air solutions along with dedicated flood and restoration services and an expert plumbing team. Their trained professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to respond to both routine needs and unexpected emergencies. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent communication, transparent pricing, and quality workmanship on every job. Appointments can be scheduled by phone, online, or through live chat at their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhow.com, because we know how.